Harisham loudly. Translation. There's no purport, so we're going to read another translation, and then the next one will have a purport. On not finding Indra and the other demigods, who had previously been intoxicated with power, the chief of the Daityas, seeing that they had all vanished before his might, roared loudly. Text 24. After returning from the heavenly kingdom, the mighty demon, who was like an elephant in wrath, for the sake of sport, dived into the deep ocean, which was roaring terribly. A lot of roaring going on. And now today's verse. On his entering the ocean, the aquatic animals who formed the host of Varuna were stricken with fear and ran far away. Thus Hiranyaksha showed his splendor without dealing a blow. Materialistic demons sometimes appear to be very powerful and are seen to establish their supremacy throughout the world. Here also it appears that Hiranyaksha, by his demoniac strength, actually established his supremacy throughout the universe, and the demigods were afraid of his uncommon power. Not only were the demigods in space afraid of the demons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, but so also were the aquatic animals within the sea. Om Gyanatavanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Jakshun Vulitamtena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Kodava Chalam Pongun Namaya Devam Yatripata Rambande Sri Gurave Dharadhyaya Vanchakalpati Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnare Vyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasti Gaur. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this Hiranyaksha was a little proud. Actually, he was quite proud. He was thinking that he was the most powerful. And he was powerful, indeed, no doubt. But he didn't know where his power was coming from. This is the problem. So the meaning of pride is an exaggerated opinion of oneself. An exaggerated opinion of oneself. So we have this big time. And we also have this to some degree. Sometimes there's some pride. It's a problem. It's one of the contaminations of the conditioned soul. There's the saying, the pauper is proud of his penny. You become proud over such a little thing. Someone gets a new suit and he walks down the street thinking everybody's admiring him. And he's walking very proud of his new suit. But nobody even notices. But he's very proud of it. So, Hiranyaksha, he had this pride. Chanaka Pandit, he says there's four types of blindness. Blinded by lust, greed, anger, and pride. And the worst one, you can probably guess, is pride. Because if one is blinded by pride, then he won't listen to any good instruction. Who are you to tell me who are you? Pride can't take good instruction. But if someone is humble, then they can take good instruction. And even take it to heart, if really humble. So, yeah, pride is a problem. And it's something that is actually permeating society. Everybody has some pride. So how to become free of this contamination? By chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he explains in the 16th chapter the divine and demoniac qualities. And the first demoniac quality, Dumba, pride. That's probably where the word Dumbo came from. They have that word here also, Dumbo. You Dumbo. Stupid. So to be overly proud is also stupid. Truly stupid. Dumbo. So when one advances in spiritual life, one understands that whatever ability one may have is actually coming from Krishna. So this knowledge actually brings the pride down. Brings it down. And then one understands actually Krishna, he's the supreme. He's the greatest. Not Aranyaksha. Not Aranyakashipu. And there was one person in America, he was quite famous, he would shout very loud, he would roar like this here, I'm the greatest. Muhammad Ali, he would win a bout, he'd stand up, he'd roar, I'm the greatest. And then he had some stroke, or Alzheimer's, I think he had Alzheimer's. Can't even walk properly. And then one reporter asked Muhammad Ali, so Muhammad Ali, are you still thinking you're the greatest? He said, yes. I'm the greatest fool. Because I didn't know where my strength was coming from. He was actually a religious person, but he became overly proud. He kind of forgot. And one devotee, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he befriended him, and he would go and visit him and preach to him. So he kind of woke up. Unfortunately, Hiranyaksha, he doesn't wake up until he gets smashed down, finished, to the ground by Varaha. So before that time comes, before death comes, hopefully we'll have the humility to understand that actually everything is coming from Krishna. And we're the servants of Krishna. This is the goal, to understand. We're very small. How small? 1/10,000th size of the tip of a hair. That's small. But the ego, the false ego, gives us this impression that we're very big. False pride. So just like there's false ego, there's real ego. The real ego is that we're the eternal servants of Krishna. Ego just means identity. So our real identity is that we're the eternal servants of Krishna. And real pride is we can be proud of Krishna. We can be proud of Prabhupada. We can be proud of ISKCON. Such a nice society, helping people all over the world. We can be proud of the devotees. So this is real pride. We shouldn't be proud of ourselves. This is false pride. Because we're very small. So in this chapter also, the 16th chapter, actually the first verse of this chapter goes into the divine qualities. And the first quality of the divine qualities is humility. Humility. So important to develop humility. And therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he says, Trinadapi or actually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shikshash. Janata Bisa Nuchina, Taror Bisa is Amanina Marinina Kirtaniya Sadhari. That one must think oneself lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others without desiring respect for oneself. And if we could have this, if we can develop this mentality, then we could chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. And Krishnadas Kaviraj, he says that this verse should be strung around one's neck by the holy name. So important. There's no other verse that he said that about. So this humility is so, so important. And that comes from hearing and chanting. The more we hear the glories of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, the more we hear about the glories of Krishna from Srila Prabhupada and other devotees, the more we understand. I'm small time. And Krishna, he's big time. He's big. So this is the goal, to understand how great Krishna is, understand how small we are, and engage in his service. Engage in his devotional service. This is what Krishna is looking for. And I was just reading, Prabhupada said in one purport, he said the greatest task, the greatest challenge that anyone can face in life is to satisfy Krishna. Because Krishna, he has a very high standard. Why? Because he's very pure. And he only accepts, or he only appreciates purity. He's only satisfied by purity. He accepts other offerings also. He accepts our offerings, even though we may not be so pure. But he's satisfied only by pure devotion. Therefore, it's stated that he's conquered and overwhelmed by pure love and devotion. And my favorite verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Tesam Sadyutanam Bhajitam Priyaturam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Yenam Yantate. He says, to those who are constantly devoted to me and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. Haribo. Yeah, that deserves a Haribo. Haribo! Haribo! So he gives us the intelligence by which we can go to him if we do what we're doing with devotion. This is the main ingredient. Just like we have prasadam. We're going to have prasadam this morning. And Prabhupada would say that this is the most important ingredient in prasadam, is the devotion. If it's made with great devotion, then Krishna accepts it. He accepts it. Just like there's one amazing pastime of Prabhupada. It was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day. And Prabhupada cooked for him. And Prabhupada was a good cook. One time a devotee asked Prabhupada, who do you think is the best cook in ISKCON? Prabhupada said, I am. He was a really good cook. He taught everybody else. He taught Yamuna. He taught someone. So he's a really good cook. So you can imagine how much devotion went into these preparations he made for his guru. So much, just like overflowing with devotion. So devotees, at 12 o'clock, they honored this prasadam. And it was just like it came from the spiritual world. It was just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And after the devotees finished their first portions, they crawled. They crawled to the pots, and they were putting their hands in the pots. They forgot all etiquette. You don't put your hand in the pot. They're just like, they lost it, you know. It was just so good that they just forgot everything, and they're just like putting their hands in the pot and eating. Just, It was just like, so it gives you an idea of how good Prabhupada cooked, you know, everybody just forgot everything, you know. So, intoxicated, yeah, they became intoxicated by this prasadam because of the devotion, so much devotion. And that devotion is also there in us. It's in us. And what we're doing, yeah, we're kind of sleeping. Now we're waking up. We're waking up. So this, just like in wood, there's fire. And where is that fire coming from? The sun. The wood absorbs the heat from the sun. And the fire is there in the wood. It just has to be ignited. So that devotion is also there within us, within all of us. Where's it coming from? Krishna. And we just have to ignite it. And when we're chanting, when we're hearing, when we're engaged in devotional service, we're igniting this devotion. So the key is attention. That's the key. And therefore one of the offenses is to chant the holy name inattentively. So the more attentive we are, the more we absorb the Krishna consciousness, the more we absorb the message that Krishna gave to us. Yeah. It's like it's a common thing in ISKCON that as soon as you chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, people start going to sleep. I'm guilty of it too. Because the soul is sleeping and it doesn't want, and the mind is there, the mind doesn't want to wake up. The mind still wants to enjoy. So it doesn't want to hear the good instruction to surrender to Krishna. It wants to have prasadam now, you know. And then, you know, we really wake up when the Sarida Vijaya, then we're just like wide awake. So we're in this disease condition. And we're trying to wake up. Now, you're going to really know when you're awake. When you hear Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and you're like, oh, yes, yes. And you're wide awake. Let me hear the nectar of Krishna. That's a good sign that you're waking up. That's a good sign that we're becoming healthy again. That we're becoming free of pride. And generally, we like to hear our glories. We don't want to hear the glories of Krishna because the mind is such a rascal. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, the mind is a non-devotee. It's a non-devotee. So, non-devotees don't want to hear the glories of Krishna. But non-devotees want to hear their glories. So, who is it? Raghunath Das Goswami, whenever someone would chant his glories, they would praise him, he would run away. He would run away. But if he heard someone criticizing him, he would, like, yeah, 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 good point. There must be more, come on, give something else. So, pride, we want to hear our glories. No pride wants to hear the glories of Krishna, doesn't want to hear the glories. So this is one of the natures of a devotee, wants to hear the glories of Krishna. When? Constantly. Constantly wants to hear the glories of Krishna. And not only do we want to hear the glories of Krishna, we want everybody to hear the glories of Krishna. Just like we had this nice parade. The essence of the parade on Australia Day was the devotees going in the parade chanting Hare Krishna. That's what Krishna was most pleased with. And we distribute books all over the world, millions of books, so that people can hear the glories of Krishna. So the demons, they don't want to serve Krishna. They want to kill God. Hiranyaksha, he wants to kill God. Such a rascal. I was just in the Woodford Festival up in Northern Australia a few weeks ago. And one person, one of the performers came to the table where I was distributing Bhagavad Gita's. And I explained the Bhagavad Gita to him. And he said, my goal is to kill God within the next week. Such a demon. Rascal. People are trying to kill God. I said, well, you can't kill God. That means he's not God. God can't be killed. So I tried to convince him to take a Bhagavad Gita, but he was so much bewildered by pride. He couldn't take. So when Prabhupada went to New York City, he was spreading the glories of Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, speaking from the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifying Krishna. And many youth became attracted to him. Actually, at that time, there was an unspoken, unwritten rule. Don't trust anyone over 35. Because that was the old generation. It was that the big change was there in the 60s. And anybody over 35, that was near the old fuddy-duds, you know, from another era. So Prabhupada comes, and he's twice that age. And the youth are surrendering to him, loving him. Why? Because he's glorifying Krishna. No pride. Purity. Purity is the force. So much so that in one of the very hip newspapers there, I think the East Village Other, there was one article. It said some are saying that God is dead. Well, there is a Swami that has come to the east side here, and he's come to let everyone know God is not dead. He's alive and well. He's just fine. So many people tried to kill Krishna. When Krishna was here, how many tried to kill Krishna? How many demons tried to kill Krishna? So many demons tried to kill Krishna. But none were successful. On the other hand, Krishna killed all of them. So, what we should want to do is kill our demoniac mentality and develop this devotion for Krishna. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that the mind is such a rascal that it should be beaten. It should be beaten every morning. In the morning, with shoes, 100 times. Not once, not twice, 100 times with a shoe. And in the evening, 100 times with a broomstick. Such a rascal. And here in the West, actually our mind should be beaten constantly, all day long. That was in India. People are a little more pious there, yeah. But in the West, we should be constantly beating the mind. That's a nonsense. And hopefully, it'll come through to us that we're these servants of Krishna. Now another point here in this verse is that the fish were afraid and they ran. It stated here they ran away. I think actually they probably swam away. They don't run away. They swam away very quickly. So fear is something that is also a contamination. Fear. Why are people afraid? Just like they have security. They have insurance companies. Vaisheshika Prabhu, he was curious about this. He researched to find out how many types of insurance there are. Take a guess. He found, just in his research, about 20 types of insurance policies you can get to avoid any problems. Fear. People are so afraid. Millions, billions, trillions of dollars probably spent every year on insurance. People are afraid. So much fear. Yeah. People lock their homes at night. They're afraid. They lock their everything. There's so much fear. People walk around with guns. In America, not here. Right? The government here is smart. They had one terrorist activity here back in, I don't know, about 30 years ago or 20 years ago. And they stopped people from having guns. All right, we don't want this to happen again. Now nobody's allowed to have guns. In America, no problem. Terrorist attack, no problem. Everybody just get more guns, you know, just in case a terrorist comes and gets you. You have a gun to shoot him. It's crazy. The Wild West, yeah. So much fear. But there's also healthy fear. Actually, Prabhupada one time said that my disciples, they have two diseases. One is they are not enough afraid of Maya. So we should have a firm fear of Maya. Because Maya is so powerful. So powerful. Daivi hetsa guna mayi mama maya. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is very difficult to overcome. Actually, that's an understatement. It's very, 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 very difficult to overcome. Krishna just said it once, but actually it's very difficult. As we're seeing, so many people are having a hard time to staying devotees, staying fixed. It's very difficult. But he says, one who surrenders unto me can very easily cross beyond it. So we shouldn't be bewildered by the mind. Mind is a problem. If we surrender to Krishna, this will beat the mind down. This will beat the mind down. And that's another fear that people have. People sometimes are afraid of surrendering to Krishna. And therefore, it's a big thing in India that people don't want to. They don't. Sometimes they don't want a Bhagavad Gita. No. Krishna, he wants too much. He wants me to fully surrender. It's too much. Even there was one person, one so-called scholar, translating the Bhagavad Gita, and in the verse, Sarvadamam Pratyajam Mamikam Sarnamujam Hangtvam Sayapapaya Moksha Sayavasaya. He says in his commentary, Krishna is asking too much. Such a rascally thing. Therefore, we have Bhagavad Gita as it is. And the others are called Bhagavad Gita as it isn't. Because they don't know. What happens if you fully surrender to Krishna? Huh? What happens if you fully surrender to Krishna? If we fully surrender to Krishna, what's going to happen? Who can say? You become happy. But also, Krishna gives himself. And there's nothing better than that. That's the goal. To attain Krishna. If we surrender to Krishna, then he'll give himself to us. So we should not have that fear. The fear is that if I fully surrender to Krishna, will I be as happy as I am now? Well, the mind says that. Well, I mean, actually, maybe that's too much. You know? Maybe Krishna's asking too much. So this doubt is there. Prabhupada was with some of his disciples, senior disciples, GBCs, sannyasis, in his room in Los Angeles. There was about 15 of them. And Prabhupada asked them, are you convinced? And Prabhupada could be very grave. So he was very grave at this time. He asked him, are you convinced? And no one said anything. And then Prabhupada said, well, I'm convinced. Therefore, he convinced all of us. So, we'll become more and more and more convinced that Krishna is God, the more we're connected to Krishna. Yeah. Don't be distracted. There's a lot of distraction now in society. Prabhupada was in France. He was speaking to some devotees and he asked them, what is the difficulty with developing our love for Krishna? He asked them, tell me, what is the difficulty with our developing our love for Krishna? And devotees said different things. Well, Prabhupada, you know, there's lust and there's greed, there's attachment, and there's... said different things. They went on for a while. And then one devotee said, the problem, Prabhupada, is we become distracted. I said, yes. Prabhupada said, yes. This is the problem. We get distracted. Maya is very expert at distracting. She's testing. So, therefore, Krishna says, Vyavasayami Kabuti, Ekeyaku. Those who are on this path, they're resolute in purpose. Their aim is one. They don't get distracted. It's like those horses. It's race horses, they got these shades so they don't get distracted. Yeah, so we should, mentally we should have that there. Yeah. Some subtle shades there, don't get distracted either way. Just Krishna, Krishna, and more Krishna. Yeah. And then we'll get more and more purified. And we'll get a taste for Krishna. And eventually we won't be interested in anything else in this world. Prabhupada was walking with some devotees and there was a trash can there. You say bin here, right? Trash bin.
Rubbish bin.
Okay. So, and there was a sign, put trash here. And Prabhupada said, then they'll have to put the whole material world in there. There's nothing in this world that will give any happiness. It's just a distraction. But if we surrender to Krishna, then we'll be very happy. Right? So, on that note, is there any question or comment? Yes? Should I give you, since you're right here, might as well give you the mic. Go ahead. No, ask the question. So they could.
Hare Krishna. So, on the final thing that about distraction.
Yeah.
We see that the distraction are sprouting from within rather from outside, like, you know, the traces of, you know, previous habits or, you know, conditioning and anattas and so many things. So that's there. How do we keep our focus on Krishna every day so that we can give less of our time or neglect? So if you can explain.
Very good question. We're already contaminated. Right? We're in Maya already. We're trying to get out of Maya. So there's already contamination within us. And now we're trying to become free of contamination. And there's so many things in this world that we're still attracted to. Because there's still some Maya there. There's still some attraction to illusion. So therefore we have to become very, very studious. We have to read. We have to read again and again. We have to hear Bhagavad Gita. How many of you are familiar with the CHAD program? How many of you know about CHAD? Okay, CHAD means chapter a day, Bhagavad Gita. This was started by Vaisheshika Prabhu. He's a good friend of mine, so he got me started on it. I've been on it for 3 years now. everyday chapter, Bhagavad Gita. It's so powerful. And he has another program now. He reads every day 41 pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That means he finishes the Bhagavatam every year. And he's one of the most ecstatic devotees in our movement. And you see the result. He's absorbed. He's fixed in Krishna. So the more we hear, the more we're going to defeat the contamination that's within us. Right? We're still attracted, but Krishna is so powerful. This knowledge is so powerful that we can get convinced that there's no pleasure outside of Krishna consciousness. So that gives us the strength within to conquer the mind. The mind is also within, the contamination. Where does Krishna say the lust is? Where is the lust? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, three places. Mind, intelligence, senses. So the contamination is within us, permeated by the enemy. Krishna says lust is the enemy. The enemy is within. So this knowledge of Krishna, this can conquer this enemy. This can help us to become purified of the contamination within. And then we'll have the strength to not be deviated from, you know, from the outside influence. But if we're not strong within, we're going to be distracted. No doubt. So we have to become very strong within. And that's where this knowledge comes from. Lord Chaitanya came to give us a vairagya, vidya, and then bhakti. So with this knowledge, we become detached. We become purified of all the contamination within, and that gives us the strength to not be distracted from all the distractions in this material world. Okay? Thank you again. That's a good question. Any other questions? Yes. Okay, loudly. Everybody can hear. Because you don't want to get proud?
Because I'm just so proud and I don't want it to get smashed.
Oh, you don't want to get smashed?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, again, if we're reading Prabhupada's books nicely, then we'll want to get smashed. We'll want the ego to get smashed. Because the ego is a problem. False ego is a problem. So sometimes devotees, they give up the book distribution because it's too much for the false ego. But better give up the false ego and keep the book distribution. Right? Probably better, right? So we make that wrong move. Actually, the book distribution is really good for smashing the pride. We want that. We don't want this stinking, obnoxious pride anymore. It's hellish. It's hellish. So, if anybody here wants to get free of your pride in a fast way, in a quick way, go on book distribution. Because what is the ego doesn't like rejection. Ego wants to be praised all the time, right? Doesn't like rejection. But actually rejection is just like medicine for the soul. Very good. So yeah, don't give up the book distribution. Keep going out and eventually we'll become free of this pride and false ego and all this garbage. You have a question? The mind is in the mode of goodness. Product of the mode of goodness. Yes. Well, there's impure mind and there's pure mind. The pure mind is in the mode of goodness, but if the mind is contaminated by illusion, by ignorance, then it's not in the mode of goodness. So it depends on what our meditation is, what the mind is thinking of. The mind is thinking of all nonsense, contamination, then certainly it's not the mode of goodness. The more we think of things in the mode of goodness, the more we think of Krishna, the more purified the mind becomes. Yes, Prabhu. Give some. What's that?
To purchase the product.
So Krishna gives us that taste, you know, for free. Just, you know, here, give you, I'll just give you something. Just get an idea of what it's like. And then after that, you got to work for it. So you got to work for it. It's not a cheap thing. We have to, surrender to Krishna. And you should tell him that we should also be patient. We're trying to achieve the highest goal, the highest happiness that there is, which is Krishna consciousness. So we have to be a little patient. This happiness is so great that Rupa Goswami, he says, when I chant the holy name of Krishna, I desire to have many millions of tongues to chant. When I hear the holy name, I want to have millions of ears to hear the holy name. And when the holy name enters into the courtyard of my heart, it stops all the nonsense activities in my mind and experience unlimited happiness. So it's telling like that, that what we're approaching is the highest happiness that there is. But now we're still contaminated, so it's hard to experience that. So patience. Keep trying. Krishna will help us. It's okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Krishna, 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 Krish